This is the Galp Energia results report on fourth quarter 2013 conference call, held on Monday the 10th of February 2014 at 11:30 UK time. The host for today's conference is Mr. Diego Villas-Boas. Thank you for holding. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Galp Energia's fourth quarter and full year 2013 results conference call and strategy execution update. I will now pass the floor to Mr. Diego Villas-Boas, head of the Investor Relations Division. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Galp Energia's fourth quarter of 2013 results conference call. Joining me today is our CEO, Manuel Ferreira de Oliveira, and our CFO, Felipe Silva. Manuel will begin with our strategy execution update, and Felipe will then provide an overview of your fourth quarter results. In the end, we'll be, as usual, available for a brief Q&A session. May I remind you that in 3 weeks, we will hold our Capital Markets Day in London, and I hope to see you all there. For now, keep in mind that we'll be making several forward-looking statements, including about our estimates, plans, and expectations. Actual results and outcomes may differ materially due to factors which are presented on the disclaimer shown at the beginning of the presentation. I will now pass the floor to Manuel. Thank you.
Thank you, Diego, and good morning to you all. I will start today's call by providing an update on our Lula project, summarized in slides 6 and 7. In 2013, we had the Cidade Angra do Reis producing at full capacity over the entire year. It is now time for us to look into its performance. During the year, the first FPSO operated according to plan at around 90% of its average nominal capacity. More importantly, we are seeing technical costs below $15 per barrel, very much in line with our previous guidance and confirming our statement that the Brazilian pre-salt can be developed with crude oil prices above $40 a barrel. This confirms the competitiveness of our project. We have no doubt that Lula is one of the most valuable projects in our industry. I highlight again that we have already contracted all critical infrastructure and equipment for the forthcoming years, and that we are fully committed to do everything we can to develop this project on time and on budget. Regarding the second unit, Lula Northeast, works are also progressing well. The second producer well was connected to Cidade Paraty through a flexible driver as a contingency plan and started oil production on the 12th of January. We are now producing very close to 60,000 barrels of oil per day from the Lula Northeast from only two producer wells. This shows the outstanding flow rates in this reservoir, which are higher than what we expected. As you might remember, the base case for commercial development of Lula was assumed as having a production on average of 20,000 barrels of oil per day. As for the buoyancy-supported riser system, its installation went very well in our block. The first buoy has already been installed, submerged at a depth of 250 meters, with all the 8 tethers already in place. For your information, by the end of the first quarter, we will have to temporarily disconnect the second producer well in order to install the second BSR. This well will be reconnected at a later stage through the BSR system. During the second quarter, we will proceed with the connection of two additional production wells. The remaining two wells will be connected in the second part of the year. As far as the gas pipeline, the connection to the FPSO was concluded by the end of January, and we anticipate that the gas export facility will be initiated by April, once the full installation and commissioning process is completed. All this considered, we see no constraints in achieving full capacity by the end of the year, as promised, with a total of 6 producer wells connected to the FPSO. By the end of the year, we will also have the third FPSO, Cidade Mangaratiba, operating in the area of the Iraçuema South. Works are ongoing at the Brasfels shipyard in Brazil, with the execution rate of the topside installation currently at around 80%. We anticipate first oil during the fourth quarter of this year. As for the remaining units to be deployed until 2017, we are comfortable with the pace at which works are going, and we will be providing details to all of you during our upcoming Capital Markets Day. Let me now move to Yara on slide number 8, and what I can tell you now is that we are performing the production tests in the quasi-horizontal well that we named the I-angle well, and that we will be able to share preliminary results with you at the beginning of March. Only after having the final results on this test, we will be able to decide on the location for this year's extended well test, which will be done with Cidade San Vicente or with Dynamic Producer. Appraisal activities planned for the Yara will be key to define its development plan, which we expect to submit to the Brazilian authorities in December. There could be potential for more than 2 production units already contracted, particularly considering the positive results obtained last year in the Yara West area, although I emphasize that we are still assessing the full potential of Yara. In Jupiter and Carcará, referred to in slide number 9, the activity in 2014 will be essential for the definition of the corresponding development plans. As you know, after the Bracuí material discovery, we are even more confident on the successful development of Jupiter. We have 2 appraisal wells and 2 production tests planned for this year for Jupiter, which shows the clear commitment of Petrobras and Galp to the Jupiter project, in which we have a 20% stake. Our current base case is to have 1 FPSO operational in 2019 to develop the oil ring. Regarding the important extension well at Carcará, we had to interrupt the first stage of drilling because of the poor performance of the rig contracted. We are now evaluating whether we will resume the first stage of drilling before the use of a suitable rig for high-pressure reservoirs, or else if we will drill the well in 1 phase, starting the second half of the year. This decision is in the process of being taken and is dependent on rig availability and on its associated costs. Moving now to Mozambique, we and our partners at Area 4 continue to work on all fronts in order to be able to take the final investment decision on the LNG project as soon as possible. This includes the engineering and design works, the unitization negotiations with Area 1, first discussions with potential buyers for the gas, working with the government to consolidate the legislation framework that supports the project development, and obviously also its financing. As you can see, this is a complex project, but we are confident on its success. The quality of the relationship among all the parties involved is critical for the ultimate value of this important project. As for the exploration, I am now in slide number 10. We announced recently the P2 discovery in the fourth quarter. I am happy to say that this was the first time that a material oil accumulation was found offshore Potiguar. Consequently, we are now confronted with a whole new play in offshore Brazil. We are still analyzing data obtained during the drilling stage, and we will proceed with the DST before elaborating more on our findings on display. The main message I want to convey to you today is that we are truly committed to the development of our main upstream projects. Both we and our partners continue to do our utmost to ensure that the projects run as expected on time and on budget. Particularly in Brazil, I must say that Petrobras is doing an excellent job as a partner and as an operator, and that what we have done in the case of Lula is a remarkable example of project execution, which can be easily observed by any third-party independent. On our Capital Markets Day, we will be able to provide you details on our most important projects, both in the pre-salt and in Mozambique. Now let me turn to our downstream and gas activities referred to in slides number 11 and 12. I believe that the year of 2013 might have been the inflection point for our refining and marketing business. Allow me to explain you why. As you all know, the refining industry in Europe is affected by a surplus of supply. What I can tell you is that we now have a much more complex and competitive and flexible refining system, which has already contributed to positive cash flow generation, and we will continue optimizing our operational costs and energy consumption. Nonetheless, I want you to keep in mind that the profitability of the refining business cannot be analyzed on a standalone basis, as it is fully integrated with our marketing activity, which continues to generate, on the back of the refining systems, steady earnings. And let me tell you that we are cautiously optimistic on our oil marketing business performance in 2014. After the 25% fall in demand since the peak in 2005, we have seen growth for the first time in the Iberian market in the fourth quarter, Q on Q. And if we also take into account the expectations for the GDP growth, we will remain confident. And we sincerely expect that our performance on the market and our refinery operations will improve throughout the year. As for the gas and power business, I must refer that the shift we have made towards the international market continues to be very rewarding, and that we have once again beaten previous year's sales. We achieved the record of 3 BCMs of LNG sold internationally with a grand total of 7 BCMs. We already have some LNG cargoes contracted for this year under the contracts already established, and we plan to reinforce our presence in the international markets through low-risk opportunistic trading. Our downstream and gas activities will continue to contribute with resilient cash flow generation to our growth plans in the upstream, fulfilling its role of complementary to our upstream growth project. And now, to elaborate on the quarter results, I will pass the floor to Philip. Thank you.
Thank you, Manuel, and good morning. Looking at our fourth quarter results on slide 14, you will see that we have benefited from the increase in Brazilian production, while being negatively impacted by the tough refining environment, which Manuel alluded to. Quarterly EBITDA reached 271 million euros, up 16% year on year. Unless indicated otherwise, all my comments relate to the fourth quarter, not to the full year. E&P EBITDA reached 109 million euros, up 42% from the previous year, as both net entitlement production and realized sale price increased in the period. Production from Brazil accounted for 64% of total production in the quarter, with oil production making up 98% of the total versus 91% last year. This higher oil mix was mostly due to gas reinjection in Brazil. Production costs per barrel decreased in the period as production in Brazil gained relevance in the overall mix. By production costs, I mean technical expenses, i.e. OPEX plus DD&A, which together with royalties determine the EBITDA line. To recall, we account for the special participation tax in Brazil within our overall tax line, so together with corporate income tax, whilst royalties are already included within EBITDA. Refining and marketing EBITDA was down 16% to 67 million euros. Important to note, however, that last year's Q4 result had benefited from a 23 million euro one-off from the actuarial effect of the restructured employee health benefit plan. You will see on the backup materials on slide 23 that our Q4 refining margin of $1.7 per barrel, and that's up from the 90 cents per barrel we had in Q4 last year, even if benchmark margins were way, way down this quarter. This uplift is mostly due to the commissioning of the hydrocracker. The marketing business has now stabilized on the back of higher oil volumes in the fourth quarter. Overall, Portugal volumes are up 4%, and Spain was flat year on year. We also had cost optimization measures implemented throughout the year, which helped EBITDA. Gas and power EBITDA was up 7% to 93 million euros in the quarter, with higher volumes of LNG traded in the international markets. Group EBIT in the fourth quarter was flat year on year at 149 million euros. Higher depreciation charges in E&P and refining offset the improved operating performance shown in EBITDA. In E&P, non-cash costs were positively impacted by the upwards revisions of reserves in Angola, but we had a similar impact back in 2012. On the refining and marketing business, the increase in DD&A was due to the commissioning of the hydrocracker. Concluding with the P&L, net profit was 92 million euros in the quarter, that's up 10%. Moving to our balance sheet on slide 15, I would just highlight the working capital improvement, supported mostly by the reduction in inventories. The fixed and long-term assets line was up by only about 50 million euros in the quarter, as CapEx in the period was partially offset by depreciation and impairment charges, the latter mainly due to the Bain-TV area in BMS 8 in Brazil. Net debt was stable at about 2.2 billion euros, or 1.3 billion euros, considering the funds we have lent to Sinopec. This equates to about 1.1 times EBITDA, comfortably below the 2 times ceiling we have committed ourselves to. CapEx on page 16 amounted to 236 million euros in the period, around 70% of which was allocated to exploration and production, and, unsurprisingly, mainly to development activities in Lula, most notably drilling of development wells, FPSO manufacture, and subsea equipment. Full-year CapEx amounted to 963 million euros, below our 1.1 billion euro revised guidance, mainly due to the euro appreciation against the dollar. On slide 17, we have our funding and liquidity profiles. You will recall our inaugural bond issue of 500 million euros back in November, which was placed on an unrated basis. This bond is currently trading on the secondary markets with a yield of 3.3% for a 5-year fixed rate maturity. The purpose of the bond was to diversify our funding sources, extend maturities, and give our financing partners a funding price benchmark for GALP. As we told the market then, we used all the proceeds to retire more expensive debt. Liquidity at year-end was around 3.6 billion euros, split as 1.5 billion euros in cash, around 900 million euro equivalent loaned to Sinopec, and 1.2 billion in unused credit lines. So in total, we had almost as much liquidity as the entire gross debt outstanding of 3.7 billion euros. Finally, and for guidance, in this first quarter of 2014, we expect to produce about 26,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day. Our refining throughput will be affected by the planned maintenance of our main refinery in Sinish, which should begin in mid-March and last until the end of April. And with this, I conclude our presentation for the day. We are available for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. There will be a short pause whilst participants register for a question. Thank you. Your first question comes from Bruno Silva from BPI. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. I have three questions, if I may. The first one regarding OPEX in E&P. You mentioned in the press release or in the presentation the technical costs in Lula 1 were below $15 per barrel. Just wonder, based on that, what is your current estimate of technical costs for the first owned FPSOs that will come on stream over the next years. The second question, also related with E&P and your portfolio, does the recent deal done by Total in Angola in any way change the way you look at Angola in the perspective of selling more mature assets in your portfolio and reinvest in new areas? And whether evaluation-wise, if this deal changes your perception of value of your portfolio in the country. Finally, just a detailed question on results. In the press release, there are non-recurrent financial losses, if I'm not mistaken, in E&P of 21.5 million euros. Can you please give some color on this? Thank you very much.
Bruno, good morning to you, and thank you for your three questions. The first one, we maintain the guidance of $15 per barrel of technical costs for the forthcoming projects in Lula. As far as the second question, we have no comments on the transaction done by Total. And I stay with that. But it does not affect the strategy that we are pursuing in Angola. As far as the third point, Philippe will take it.
Bruno, the the non-recurrent, so we, with the proceeds of the bond, what we did was to amortize early a loan of an equivalent amount, which had been contracted a couple years back. The fees that we paid upfront then were being amortized throughout the life of that loan that was amortized. That was an 8-year loan. So we still had 6 years to go. So what we've done was accelerate effectively the recognition in the P&L of a payment that was being amortized. So this is non-cash. It was all paid upfront 2 years ago. We just, as we killed that loan, we just recognized the front. Now, why is it E&P? It doesn't really matter. It was contracted by one of our E&P vehicles, but really you should look at it as if it was a corporate loan. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. If I may just a quick follow-up on the first question regarding the guidance on technical costs for the first owned FPSOs. I don't know if my assumptions are correct, but assuming that the $15 for Lula 1 include leasing costs, then by maintaining the guidance of $15 per barrel for the owned FPSOs, all else constant, it would indicate an increase in costs. Is that correct?
It's very simple. It will include the leasing costs. But when you have leasing costs, you do not have depreciation of the asset. So the numbers are similar.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruno.
Thank you. I would request that each participant limits themselves to two questions in the interest of time. Your next question comes from Alejandro de Michelis from Exane. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you very much for taking my question. A couple of questions here. The first one is on exploration outside of Brazil. Could you please tell us where you are in terms of drilling in Morocco and in Angola in 2014? And then the second question is, maybe you can give us some kind of indication of where do you see production by the end of the year with all of these minor disruptions that you're talking about, the connection of the new wells and so on.
Alejandro, thank you for your two questions. No. Exploration elsewhere from outside Brazil. We'll be drilling our first operated shallow well, water well, in Morocco April this year. We will spud by April. So the operation is being set up, and we now will, we trust the laws of probabilities and hope we are successful. Then, as far as Angola, we do not have any major exploration program. We are looking at the bidding for new acreage that will happen soon, either this year or next year. And we have recently, as you are aware, it's already public, prepared for the declaration of commerciality and approving of the FID for Block 32 in Angola, operated by Total. As far as the production at the year end, I would prefer not to comment it at this stage. We will have fundamentally Cidade Angra do Reis at full capacity, and Cidade Paraty at full capacity. Then we'll have the production from Angola and probably at least one EWT that could be going by that time. But by March in London, we probably will be able to share more reliable guidance for exit production by the year, for the end of the year. Thank you, Alejandro.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Oswald Clint from Sanford Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Yeah, just on the CNS refinery, you had some unplanned maintenance in the fourth quarter, and you talk about more in March this year going forward. I do recall you saying there wouldn't be so much maintenance, at least for a couple of years, on the hydrotreater. So could you talk about what is anything happening there, or and what the schedule is for further maintenance over this year and actually into next year? And sorry, the second question, just curious, you mentioned some comments in your release on the excellent reservoir response from the WAG process. Could you perhaps just talk about that and any implications from that early set of results? Thank you.
Oswald, thank you for your two questions. Starting with Sines, the outage is programmed. The outage that we are taking, that we are now starting up in mid-March, is planned and in line with the recommendations of the manufacturer of the hydrocracker. And also, by the way, the FCC is also under maintenance, and the fact is that we delayed last year the programmed maintenance program for the remaining of the refinery to ensure that we do them all together during the same outage. And I think this is the question to you. Any outage in the fourth queue, this happens everywhere, is a 1 or 2 day outage of one unit here or there. The reliability of the hydrocracker has been extremely good. Under all criteria. Actually, in particular, the startup and operation throughout next year is one of the best of the similar hydrocrackers in Europe. As far as the reservoir response from WAG, it is still early stages for us to extrapolate for the overall Lula reservoir. But we are very happy with the signals that we are getting out, which are fundamentally confirming the analytical and analogical models that we have set up. So we still need more time to take material conclusions on it. We expect good results. Thank you, Oswald.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Anish Kapadia from TPH. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. A couple of questions. Firstly, on your potential disposal program, I think you've talked over the last year about analyzing potentially the gas infrastructure business, some of your pipelines in the associate line, and also Angola Block 32. Can you just update where your thinking is in terms of disposals of these assets? And then the second question was on the refining and marketing business. Clearly still tough conditions in the refining business, things getting a bit better in marketing. Can you give some indication on the refining side whether you're free cash flow positive at the moment, and if current margins persist on the refining side and on the marketing side, where you would see earnings this year? Thank you.
Anish, thank you for the two questions. I'll let the first one to Philippe. He will give you some. Guidance on them, and I'll take the second one. You see, our vision, as far as IBD is concerned, is from the marketing point of view, is extremely simple. The demand collapsed so deep that the only way forward is going up again. What we don't know is the slope, is how fast it could grow. And in simple terms, use $1 per barrel in the refinery margin. If it is transferred to the market, it is 1 cent per liter of the white fuels. So that means that typically refining and marketing try to balance themselves. When the refinery margins are low, typically the marketing margins go up. What happened for the first time in my experience is that we saw simultaneously a collapse in refinery margins in a region where the demand for products was also collapsing, which is unique. And then it was impossible, due to competition forces, to, in a way, neutralize part of the reduction in refinery margins by incremental in marketing margins. So that is a situation that we hope would be gradually changing throughout the next couple of years. As far as the first question, Philippe will take it.
I mean, just to complement the Manuel's comments on refining, we have free cash flow positive. A lot of it is we have much better working capital management. So we have very large numbers in inventories and clients to manage. So you should expect this to continue. On the disposal program, I don't recall GALP announcing that we would be looking at disposing of any of our major assets, and gas infrastructure is one of such assets. We did mention that we would have active portfolio management of some of our less core assets, which is the term I used. We have some key assets which we will keep for the rainy days if need be. So we have committed to the market no more than 2x debt to EBITDA. Yes, we have a great gas infrastructure business. Yes, we have 70% of Brazil. Yes, we have Mozambique. So any assets could be considered, but we're not focusing on any of the large assets at this stage. Last year, we monetized 5% of CLH. We are working on smallish assets monetizations, which will happen throughout 2013. But given where our leverage ratios are today, you should not expect any major assets, at least in 2014. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Mehdi Ennebati from Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon all. Two questions. The first one regarding the interest expenses. At the net income level, you show net interest expenses of 121 million euros. However, we see at the cash flow level that the net interest payments have been 176 million euros. I talk for the whole year 2013. So just wanted to know how you explain that difference, and shall we consider the same kind of gap for the years to come? And the second question is regarding CapEx. You guided at the beginning of the year on a CapEx increase in 2013 versus 2012. This hasn't been the case. Shall we understand that there has been some delays on project development, or do you have another explication? Thank you.
Morning. Can I'll take the second question and Philippe the first one. As far as CapEx, we have guided unequivocally in the last two quarters a total CapEx of 1.1 billion euros. Effectively, it is 963 million euros, and the delta is basically exchange rate effects. As you know, our CapEx is dollar-driven, and the strengthening of the euro reduced the equivalent dollar amount to 960, so about 140 million euros of benefit into CapEx. So we maintained CapEx at the level of the guidance given in the last two quarters. We have no material delay in any of the major relevant projects. Now, Philippe will take the second question.
The difference between P&L and cash flow on interest costs. The P&L still has about 45 million of costs, interest costs capitalized, i.e. it looks prettier on the P&L than on the cash flow, because about 45%, 45 million did not flow through the P&L. We also took to the cash flow statement the early amortization of the loan I've mentioned before. Again, it was not a cash movement because those fees had been paid back 2 years ago. But the way we design our cash flow statements at GALP is by balance sheet differences, and it was caught within this cash flow statement you have on the back of materials. So 20 million or so of prepayments expenditures plus 45 million of interest capitalized explain most of the differences. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Philippe Rosa from Espirito Santo Investment Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Two questions, if I may. On P2, I would like to ask whether you can already have a good idea whether the results that you may obtain are above your pre-drill estimates for this prospect. Since you are drilling for so long, just trying to understand whether you can already answer to that. And my second question relates to Mozambique. Your partner in Anadarko has recently updated on how the efforts to market the gas were ongoing. Could you give us an update as well on your front, how the marketing has been developing? And regarding the timing for the final legislation on this subject, could you give us some guidance, because this has been delayed several times so far? Thank you very much.
Okay, Philippe, very good morning, and thank you for your three questions. Now, starting with the P2 discovery, we discovered effectively two reservoirs, one oil and another gas. We'll be testing only the oil reservoir, and we will not in a position to make any additional comments, because we are right now preparing the test, and it will be misleading to give you an indication at this time. So we have to wait, all of us. We are very happy with the discovery. Now, the marketing of gas. The marketing of gas in the consortium is done by the consortium as a whole. So it's a joint working. So whatever the operator says, it has been done by the consortium. Is a characteristic of the contract that we have. We are in the initial stages of marketing at this stage, because we have other priorities before that. Our main priority is to ensure that we have a reliable startup of the project, so that marketing can be properly committed. As far as the legislation in Mozambique, I want to make it clear that none of the parties, neither that we are aware of, and in fact Area 4, is not asking for any change in legislation. It's simply to ensure that all the different pieces of legislation related with the project is consolidated in a single law for transparency and clarity reasons, and to ensure that in stability. Transparency, clarity, and stability, which are key variables important, particularly for the financing of the project. And it has been well understood by the government of Mozambique. Unfortunately, the parliament of Mozambique only meets 90 days a year, and it is just waiting for the right moment for that legislation to be passed, and we see that it is not because of the legislation that the project will not proceed. So we've got all the cooperation of the government authorities in Mozambique. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Michael Ashford from Citi. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Michael Ashford from Citi. A couple of questions, if I could. Just to follow up on P2, I know you mentioned you're testing the oil reservoir, but could you maybe talk a little bit about the forward program? Are there follow-on opportunities within the block that you could and might well drill this year on the back of the discovery? And then just secondly, on the numbers, just on tax and maybe some guidance could you provide on the tax rate for 2014, given, I guess, quite a lot of fluctuation in the tax rate during 2013. Thank you.
Michael, thank you for your two questions. No? I apologize, but as far as P2, it would not be fair that I advance any information that would be, in a way, conceptual, because we are now organizing DST, which is critical for us to give you reliable information. So I would expect first this DST, and as a result of that, a program will be delineated for the forthcoming year. I hope not so far from now we'll be able to share that with you. As far as the tax rate, Philippe will take it.
Hi, Michael. Let me give you a bit of long-term guidance on tax, because this seems to be a recurring question. So royalties, about 10% in Brazil, are within EBITDA. So what you see on the tax line is combination of corporate tax in Spain, Portugal, Angola, and Brazil, plus special participation tax in Brazil. Going forward, and you know, give or take, corporate taxes are between 25 and 35% between the various countries. And that's tax on profit before tax. Special participation tax will drive most of the change in taxes of GALP for the next decade. So special participation tax is a variable tax that goes from 0 to 40% in Brazil based on how big the block and the production is. So as Lula, Sernambi, which for Brazilian tax purposes is seen as still as one single block, this will, you know, in a few years' time when all the FPSOs will be operating, you should expect to have 40% SPT tax in Brazil, with the caveat that SPT is itself tax deductible. So when we calculate the corporate tax in Brazil of 34%, the SPT will come in as a deduction. Your question on 2014, I mean, we would expect to be mid-30s, and long-term this will go to closer to 50% as all the FPSOs are on board. Thank you.
Thanks, Philippe. Thanks, Manuel. That's really clear. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Jason Kenney from Santander. Please go ahead.
Hi there. A couple of questions, if I may. The first, maybe just following up on 2014 guidance. I appreciate you're only 3 weeks away from your capital markets day, but if you could give us an indication of the 2014 CapEx number, that would be of interest, particularly given your comments earlier on how FX rates have saved you quite a significant amount of CapEx in 2013 on a euro basis. And then secondly, just on the Sinopec loan, can you kind of maybe describe how that will not be a part of the net debt consideration, or when it will be out of the consideration? Is it out of play 2015 or 2016?
Good morning to you. Thank you for the two questions. Philippe will take care of them.
Jason, thank you for the second question, which I'm glad to say again. We all know GALP did about $5 billion capital increase in Brazil subscribed by Sinopec. The monies came in, and some of the money was lent back to the shareholders. So Petrogal Brazil, that raised the money, lent back some of the funds to their shareholders. So this is GALP money, which is booked in the balance sheet. The Petrogal Brazil loan to GALP, you know, washes out in the consolidation. The loan to Sinopec shows as a third party, so a loan to a third party. That could as well have been deposited in a, say, a Chinese bank and would have been considered as cash or equivalents then. So economically, we keep on showing our net debt also deducting the loan to Sinopec as cash or equivalent. So that's what it is economically. We are drawing on that line, so you will see the $800 million or so loan to Sinopec gradually reduced to a much lower number, depending on the capex of Brazil. On the capex guidance, again, I think you'll have to wait for another 3 weeks or so. It won't be material different from what you heard from us last year. We're not expecting FX differences to play a role in 2014. We had big swings in the real, about 20% depreciation of the real to the euro last year. Our real-denominated capex is quite limited, and we had
about the 3 or 4% depreciation of the dollar versus the euro on average last year. It's looking as if this year might be the opposite. So the dollar is gaining some ground. So, you know, CapEx is likely to be back to where we expected and the guidance we gave last year for 2014.
Okay, many thanks.
Your next question comes from Lydia Rainforth from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Thanks, and good afternoon, gentlemen. A couple of questions, if I could. Firstly, can I just ask a very technical question about the accounting for the maintenance at Sinners? Just within that, how much that maintenance is going to cost and just whether it will be capitalized versus expensed for over that 1Q, 2Q period. And then secondly, if we could just get any indication in terms of the DD&A per barrel in the upstream going forward would be hugely helpful. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning. The how we account maintenance in our refining infrastructure? This is the question, isn't it?
Please.
Is the following way. You see, when you do an overall maintenance program in a refinery, there are items that are pure capex. You know? So if you replace the pump, for instance, you have to depreciate then the pump through the life of the pump. But the recurrent capex that happens every 4 years, it is depreciated in 4 years. That means the total, but within the cap. So when you do the maintenance program, part is expenditure, which is a minor part of it. The remaining is an investment for the unit to run for a 4 year period. And that is the capex depreciated in 4 years. As any long-term equipment, it will be depreciated throughout their life. In the past, let me tell you one thing. In the past, we used to create provisions every year to account for what would be spent after the period. It is the IAS requirement that we cannot do it. So now we have no provisions. We execute the expenditure and we depreciate it for going forward in a 4 year period. Is that clear to you, Lydia?
Yes, it is. Thank you. And then the other one was just on the DD&A in the upstream, if you have it, just in terms of where that might go moving forward.
The D&A for the upstream is on based on a unit of production per entitlement production. Mm. So the variation that you see in Angola is because we and the operator only update the reserves the developed reserves by the year end. So at the beginning of the year, we estimate, using the previous year reserves, what are the reserves so that we can depreciate on a unit basis. Because of reserves reviews resulting from the positive or negative, resulting from the operation of the year, then we adjust typically this number on the fourth Q. That is on the per unit basis of the reserves going forward, you know, that we depreciate the asset. And that is, in Brazil, this confusion doesn't exist because we do not have the difference between working and entitlement production. In Angola, we have production sharing agreements. In Brazil, we have concessions.
Okay, that's hugely helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Your final question comes from Mr. Matt Loftings from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the presentation, gentlemen. Just two quick questions, please. Firstly, on coming back to Mozambique, I just wondered if you could talk a little bit about exploration plans there for 2014, in particular the timing of sort of getting back to the Agulha discovery to the south of Area 4, and I think you talked about a 2-3 well appraisal program there previously. Secondly, just coming back to DD&A, if you could perhaps give us an indication of where you think depreciation goes to for 2014 in aggregate when you factor in the sort of the comments that you just made on the upstream side and then also the full year run rate on the downstream post completion of the upgrade program. Thanks.
I will take the first question, the first part of the question, and Philippe will close with the second part. As far as the drilling program for exploration and appraisal in Mozambique, we just have in the Agulha area one appraisal well to drill this year, and we've got two exploration wells in prospects that that we have identified. So that's as far as Agulha. The Mamba complex has been fully appraised. As far as the second question, or the second part of the question, Philippe will take care of it.
On DD&A, Matt, and also bridge this to Lydia's question. On downstream, if you take a average quarter, say Q3 last year, DD&A was pretty much run rate. So the hydrocracker was operating. Everything was being amortized as planned. And the new units at the refineries are being amortized based on, you know, tax criteria. That's about 15-year useful life for tax purposes. Remind you, the first quarter of 2013, we were not amortizing the hydrocracker, so it's not 2013 overall numbers are not a good reflection. On the upstream, we should expect to see significant differences on how they are booked as the new FPSO units come on stream. So today we have, in our OPEX, we have the lease payments to the owners of the FPSOs. As each new FPSO comes on stream with the ones that we have acquired, the OPEX line will fall. The cost of the FPSO will actually be off balance sheet because they have been acquired by 2PBB, a subsidiary where we only have 10%. And the financial, so there will be a financial element which we will have to detail on how the new owned FPSOs of the consortium will be booked, but they will not be under OPEX.
Okay, thanks very much.
So I understand that there are no further questions, and ladies and gentlemen, I would like to thank you for the attention that we offered us today. I hope that all your questions have been clarified and that it has been clear to you that the development of Lula is our top priority in terms of timing and budget. During 2014, we will see, as we referred before, the second FPSO ramp up to full capacity by the end of the year and the commissioning of the first one in the Iracema sub-area of the Lula-Iracema field. In the meanwhile, we continue with intensive appraisal activities in our other fields in the pre-salt in order to de-risk the development plans, particularly in Yara, Jupiter, and the Carcará fields. On our investment plan in the upstream, it will be supported both by our solid financial position and by the strong contributions for the downstream and gas businesses, which should continue to generate the positive generous cash flows. Finally, I want to take this opportunity, and I emphasize I want to take this opportunity to once again remind you that we'll be holding our important Capital Markets Day on the 4th of March in London. We sincerely expect that you will join us there. During this event, we will be elaborating on our strategy. We will focus specifically on the most important development projects, particularly in Brazil and Mozambique, as well as in our exploration program. We will also provide an update on our financial outlook, including the stable downstream and gas businesses, which should continue to support the execution program of our Epsim strategy. So thank you for your time, thank you for your attention, and I look forward to seeing you all there in London. Good morning.
Thank you. That concludes the Galp Energia's fourth quarter and full year 2013 results conference call and strategy execution update. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.